Send a movie idea.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to The Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules here are very simple. We can discuss as many of your ideas as we like, but only one can be taken through to the next stage, to production, where we'll use the funds from its success to hire the nation's greatest PI to try and track down those pesky missing royals. I'm Joel, a man who puts the suck into a hastily put together succession plan. And across from me is John Harris, a man who, thanks to his schooling and an upbringing that he's quite coy about, only needs a minimum of three more royals to retire from public duty before he finds himself addressing the nation, opening community centres and owning 2/3 of Cornwall. Hi, John.
Hello. There was two routes you could have gone down there, which is one that you think I'm posh, or the other is that I'm French and you could have gone down the sort of guillotine route. Did you think
or that you're kidnapping the royal family? But I'm not. It's not for me, a suggestion for me to make. John, we're not alone today. We are joined. I'm delighted to say that we are joined by a podcaster, comedian, writer, all-round good egg, Matthew Crosby. Hello, Matthew.
Hello, Joel. Hello, John. How you doing, guys?
I think we're very well. Yeah, I'll answer for both of us.
Thank you.
We're very well. How are you?
I think John put across his feelings at the start, and I think you're right to pick up on them and relay them to me. But I'm good, thank you very much. Yeah, I'm really, really good. It's nice to chat to you both.
It's a pleasure to have you. We are here to discuss some film pitches that our listeners have sent in to us. John, would you like to give us our first one, please?
What about this one from Nathan? Black Hawk Down. It's just Black Hawk Down, but with Goofy from Disney.
Was that your Goofy, by the way?
That was pretty good.
It was good,
no,
yeah.
Are you, better first time.
You're a parent. Are you having to do the impressions of various characters? You have to embody various characters. Because I feel like with my two daughters, specifically my eldest, I wake up in the morning and I'm straight into an improv class because she's constantly throwing me characters. You're like, okay, here's the scenario. And by the way, there's no yes-anding with my daughter. There's always, no, it's not that. That's not what's happening. But I'm constantly having to be your Mickey Mouse who's just done a wee in his pants. That's the, you know, that's always the offer she's given me, the improv offer she's given me. And I have to do it exactly right. Otherwise, absolutely livid. So, but Goofy is definitely in there as well. We're always having to do Goofy. Do you have to do that for your kids?
No, as of yet. Although I absolutely had him rolling on the floor yesterday, my oldest, by just sort of singing nursery rhymes in a very high-pitched voice. He thought that was the funniest thing he's ever heard in his life.
Give us a blast.
I mean, if you're asking John for a blast of this and you've already floated the idea that you'll do Mickey Mouse impressions where he's business pants.
I'll do my incontinent Mickey Mouse in a second. But we'll hear the high-pitched nursery rhyme first of all.
So it'll be like, heads, shoulders, knees and toes. That was
good.
It's quite a good voice.
That is a good voice. I think you were sort of hiding your light under a bushel a little bit, saying it was just a high voice. There was a whole character there as well. It was really good.
Yeah, the listeners won't know, but I did put on a costume before I started singing.
They can't see this. They can't see the lengths you're going to. So my Mickey... Okay, let's get into this thing.
Oh, hi, I'm Mickey Mouse, and I need to go to the toilet. Oh, no.
It'll always be the bit, you know. And it gets increasingly more and more complicated, whereby there'll be somebody, I'll be outside the cubicle. Oh, let me in. It's me, Mickey Mouse. I need to go. I need to use the potty. Please. I've done a poo poo in my pants. It's that. It's, you know, and also bear in mind, I'm often driving a car while this is happening. It's not like I'm just, you know, we haven't hired out a rehearsal space. I'm not wearing, you know, movement clothes. This is just at any point I'm cooking dinner. I'm driving them to a dance class or whatever. Anything, you know, all of these things, at any moment you could be like, okay, now here's your scene. Off you go. It feels like it should be like a kind of reality TV format, doesn't it?
Has it improved you as an improv performer, do you think? And have you ever refused?
Yes and everything, because you really have to. You can't. And also I know that if I refuse, it's not going to, you know, it's only going to prolong the event. And also some, you know, cooking dinner and driving around could be boring. I'm a performer.
Funeral's boring. You know, you have to.
That eulogy,
always yes and.
That eulogy I gave to my gran. Sure, it was more Disney centric than probably reflected her interests in life. But crucially, towards the end of her life, she was often missing the potty. So
yes, Nan.
It exactly.
I, in my head, like the film version of this is the end. You're at a pappy's gig, and things aren't going too well, and you crack out the incontinent Mickey to rapturous applause.
You've got to get the younger demographic on board, John. That's what it is, isn't it? You know. We're a bunch of, you know, a bunch of 40-year-old men making comedy for 40-year-old men. What we've got to do is, if you want the TikTok generation to enjoy it, then you've got to do the Mickey's just pissed himself.
That's all I see on TikTok.
I'm not a big TikToker, but I assume that's part of it.
Your first sort of breakout TikTok is you pretending to be Mickey Mouse needing the toilet. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that, you know, if that was what I was known for. People coming up to me goes, I'm so sorry to bother you when you're, you know, walking around the glades in Bromley with your family. But are you the incontinent Mickey Mouse guy? And I'm like, yes. Go on then.
Can you record a video for my mate? Yeah.
give us your phone. I'll give you. I've really got to set up a cameo because I'm chucking this away when it could be, I could be making a bit of coin.
It would be setting up a cameo of doing Mickey Mouse having pissed himself impressions would lead to the greatest cease and desist letter that had ever been sent.
Well, you know, you say that, but that the Mickey Mouse is coming back out of copyright, isn't it?
You're very welcome to do Steamboat Willie as pissed himself
Steamboat
impressions.
Willie, yeah, Steamboat Willie. So I could be whistling because obviously, you know, they do say if you need to go, if you can't go to the loo, a bit of whistling will often sort of get the process going. And, you know, rushing water, whistling. Of course, you're telling me Steamboat Willie never
pissed. Steamboat Willie.
Yep. You're telling me Steamboat Willie never pissed himself. Of course he did. A whistling man surrounded by water. He was, honestly.
Why do you think they called him Steamboat Willie? Anyway, Goofy pilots a helicopter into, I think, Afghanistan. Here's an idea from Mike. Derren Brown's boys.
Oh.
Now, this to me seems pretty obvious, right? Derren Brown is, he's banned from every casino race course bookie in the country. I think that's the legend with Derren Brown, isn't it? So he needs to assemble an army to...
Oh, you're seeing it like a kind of
fleece these places.
Ocean's 11 type
generally
thing.
I'll always try and get us back to Ocean's 11, no matter what the idea is. It's, you know, I think the sexy heist film is the greatest genre of film.
So you're not in any way incorporating the Irish mammy that we get from Mrs. Brown's boys. You're not
from Mrs. Brown's boys.
So I thought that's the people that he was recruiting, right? The characters from Mrs. Brown's boys that we all know. We won't name them now, but we all know them.
Mr. Brown.
Well, here's the thing. There is no Mr. Brown, is there? There's his wife in real life plays his daughter. It's very Crankies, isn't it?
Yeah,
that,
it is.
You know, it's very Crankies. But all of the other people in it are he sort of either directly related to. Now, I've been on the set of Mrs. Brown's Boys. The first series of our sitcom was recorded in the same studio as Mrs. Brown's Boys by the same director, Ben Kellett. Brilliant director, brilliant TV studio sitcom director. But obviously his big meal ticket was Mrs. Brown's Boys. And the episode we saw being filmed, there was a new character. And I don't think it doesn't really matter if I am. But it was a new character who Brendan, Mrs. Brown, had met like in a restaurant, and he was like a funny maitre d' in a restaurant, and that was such was the tremendous star power in 2012, 2013 of Brendan O'Carroll, that he could say to a guy who was funny, you know, waiting tables, hey, you're brilliant. Do you want to be on a BBC One sitcom next week? And so they'd written a scene in, and we watched the rehearsals, and very funny in the restaurant, I imagine, this guy. On the set of a sitcom, a slightly trickier proposition. So every now and then, like, they'd go over to him and go, oh, by the way, that scene that you're doing, that's not happening now. There were so many like pink pages put into the script as they had to sort of bulk out the episode around taking this guy
the silent maitre d'.
Exactly.
That is amazing. I wonder, basically, you're always on, whenever you're around Brendan, it's always an audition. Life's a constant audition for Mrs. Brown's Boys. In a way.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, obviously most of them are people who are like, you know, he's keeping it all in his family, really. A lot of kids and cousins and, you know, his wife and that sort of thing. They're all kind of mates. But yeah, if you see Brendan O'Carroll, give it some tits and teeth. If you're out and about and you see Brendan O'Carroll, give it a bit of the old razzle dazzle, because you never know, you could be in his next movie.
You described Mrs. Brown's Boys as the director's meal ticket. And speaking of meal ticket, there was a range of Mrs. Brown's Boys food that you could buy in Iceland. I don't know if you ever saw this. They span off into ham and cheese crowns, that sort of thing. And I was wondering how close to that were Pappies at the same, when you were on that same set, you know, in the same studio, how close were you to having your own range in Iceland, and what would the products have been?
I would say now that we you know, considering that we struggled to fill a 300 seats studio, I think filling the aisles of your local frozen food vendor might have been a problem. Hey, you know, it was our first series. They've been going for a while, but I'd love to. The thing we're very interested in at the moment is some sort of Pappy's branded booze. We keep talking about it.
Yes.
And in fact, we mentioned it a couple of times on our podcast, and a few breweries and wine makers have got in touch to say, we're happy to do this. But I've just, you know, I don't want to lose anyone their job. You know, because it's quite, I think people have quite a sort of like, I think this is true of like kind of all culture. But if you are very into a thing, you often don't imagine, you can't imagine that the rest of the world isn't also into that thing.
Yes.
You know, like, you know, you listen to your podcast every week, and the podcast obviously have, you know, have loads of letters in from listeners, and, you know, like, you know, your podcast, you're getting people sending in stuff every week. To the people listening to this right now, they must think, like, I can only assume that Joel and John are millionaires who are unable to leave, you know, to walk out in public without being mobbed by mad Dream Factory fans. But obviously that's not the, I mean, I've, you know, I know plenty of people who have very, very successful podcasts, and even they're, you know, they're not at that level. So we'd love to do it, but it would be a real vanity project.
Well, John worked for a brewery for years and years. I'm not guaranteeing he can set you up, but John has a direct line to a brewery.
I used to work at a brewery, and if I walked in there today, they'd say, who are you? People on packaging of food, it's a rare thing. I feel like in the 90s, you couldn't move for packages of food with sort of celebrities on them endorsing it. But now...
Is that not happening now with your toddler? Because, you know, they won't eat raisins, my kids, but they will eat Paw Patrol raisins. And that seems to be, you know, which is, I'm absolutely fine with, you know. Like, it used to be when we were growing up, it would be, what's the worst possible cereal? Let's stick a cartoon character on that.
Yeah.
Raisins, fine. I'd love them to eat more raisins. You know, that sort of thing is fine. I tell you what you do see a lot of, actually, is celebs with their own, again, with their own, like, booze range. So, you know, you can have a lovely bottle of Graham Norton rosé or a Kylie Minogue rosé. I think that's...
Paw Patrol rosé.
Paw Patrol rosé, exactly. Get him started early. Exactly.
I would say that John has got a point. My biggest gripe with with Wonka that came out last year, which I thought was absolutely amazing, was that there wasn't a single spin-off Wonka chocolate in any of the shops, which just feels like an absolute crime. Something has gone horribly wrong there. Whereas I vividly remember, I don't know why I remember this, but when the Star Wars prequels were coming out, you'd get like Star Wars branded Satsumas. Like, you couldn't move for products tying themselves to absolutely everything.
Jar Jar Binks was on everything.
Tying themselves to everything going, Jar, you couldn't move for Binks. Exactly. And now I can't even get a Wonka bar. It's just, something's gone horribly wrong.
Well, it's big sporting events tend to have the monopoly on these things, don't they? Where they'll be like the official, you know, the official shaving foam of the World Cup. And you're like, how's that deal getting broken?
Yeah, like, well, Man United has an official noodle partner, for example.
If you're a proper, proper United fan, do you sort of refuse
only,
all other
only
noodles?
Only those noodles. Yeah. Big time.
But that's, I think the problem is with football teams aligning themselves with a product is, obviously Man United, sort of absolutely massive team, internationally successful, but you are still going to have people who are City fans who wouldn't touch it with a barge pole. So you're stopping people from, I don't think anyone was, you know, like if they were like, when the Ninja Turtles pizzas came out when I was a little kid, I think people who bought mini pizzas which were still buying it, even though the Ninja Turtles were on it. There was no one there who was so sort of vehemently anti Donatello.
Yeah,
they were like, I'm not going to have this pizza.
So you're saying there weren't like Street Sharks ultras who weren't going anywhere near the?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it was. It wasn't even a sort of Blur versus Oasis type thing. I think pretty much everyone was like either liked them or didn't care.
In my mind, Blur versus Oasis very much is Biker Mice from Mars versus Ninja Turtles, and then Street Sharks more of a pulp, I think.
Yeah, although I would say, so you're saying Biker Mice from Mars in this analogy are Oasis? Because I think, I don't know.
Oasis are the Ninja Turtles, surely. No.
No, because Blur won the battle.
They
won the battle but lost the war. Did they even lose the war? They're still kicking.
I would say Blur are cooler. The Biker Mice from Mars are definitely the coolest. The Ninja Turtles are the most commercially successful.
Right.
That's kind of where I'm going. I don't know. But it's tricky.
Could the Biker Mice from Mars in 2023 do Two Nights at
yes.
Wembley? You think they could? No way. Next thing you'll be telling me that like the Samurai Pizza Cats are going to play arenas. I just think you're living in a dream world, mate. This is exactly the sort of parasocial thing we've been talking about. It's just because you spend so much time watching the Biker Mice.
Yeah, you're so right. I think
they'll be lucky to sell out the Roundhouse, really, Joe.
I think you're right. Yeah, absolutely. It'll be one of those things where like, oh, you're emailing us about this on the week of the gig. Okay, all right, sure.
There's always the newsletter, the gossip newsletter, Pop Bitch, every week now, there's a bit that's like, here's an act who's been using seat-filling websites, and it would definitely be, last week, the Biker Mice from Mars had to use the seat-filling service to fill, you know.
Can I just say, oh, well done, Pop Bitch, you're doing God's work. I find Pop Bitch, you know, like for some reason, maybe it's just because I'm a bit older, but whenever I see an article, get sent an article from Pop Bitch, I just go, oh, you little.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's some.
You little sort of, yeah, it feels very much like they're all Danny DeVito's character in LA Confidential. You know, basically, they're scumbags.
Yeah.
You know? They might be quite charismatic scumbags that you want to spend a bit of time with because they've got the inside scoop.
Yeah.
But ultimately,
love gossip. That's...
Yeah, that's the problem. Do you know what it is? It appeals to the worst part of me, which is the part that really loves gossip. But also, who cares that people are using seat?
I know.
It's a slow news day when that's your story.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, John, would you like one from me?
Yes, please.
The Flounder. It's basically the founder, but it's exclusively about the development and creation of the High Street's greatest burger, the Filet-O-Fish.
This is fascinating.
I thought...
Go on, what are you going to say, John?
Well, I was just going to say, I thought we were going to upset some people with your opinion on Biker Mice from Mars, but now claiming the Filet-O-Fish is the best thing McDonald's does is really going to upset people.
People come here for hot takes. I'm bidding for a gig on GB News. I think the way that GB News is formatted is like four bullet points they show at the start with headlines like Filet best, Biker Mice, you know, rule the world. Also best. It's Joel's best bits on GB News Friday nights at 9 o'clock.
A little bit of positivity because there's a lot of negativity on that show. if somebody was to come on there for half an hour and you're sat there with a couple of other pundits, you know, I'm assuming Lee Anderson would come on and say, "Look, come on, Lee, you've got a negative presence in UK politics. What do you love? What's great?" So
on my sofa, I've got Lee Anderson, Ronald McDonald, and one of the Biker Mice from Mars. And it's a rating smash. So much so that it kind of upsets what GB News is as a concept. And I've taken it down from the inside.
Yeah, it becomes unwittingly the flagship show. And the rest of the content has to sort of move.
It has to become more surprisingly Biker Mice from Mars heavy than they maybe anticipated. So yeah, this is just, that's all it is. It's a biopic of whoever invented the Filet-O-Fish, the greatest burger available on the high street, because I'd like to know more. It's been my go-to for years and years and years and years. It's always delicious. It's always made fresh to order because not enough people order the Filet-O-Fish. I've once eaten four Filet-O-Fish back to back after a night out. I occasionally go back through my...
You can't just breeze past that. So on a night out, is this... And you say four back-to-back. Did you go up to the counter and say
three
four,
and one.
Please?
It's three and or one. Did you... Thanks for asking. Great question. It was three and then one. Yeah.
Thank you. So you ordered three thinking, I'm going to be hungry. And then you ate three. You're like, there are still some gaps.
Not many people leave McDonald's with omega-3 levels as high as I do. You can't dispute that.
Honestly, your joints were so supple at the end of that. Yeah. It was like, honestly, liquid.
And I regularly, sometimes I go, you know how, I don't know if you do this when you're on the tube or an area of no signal, you'll go through your photos in your phone. And you both have children. I'm sure that you've got lots of lovely photos to look back on. I quite often scroll back to a trip to Paris I went on where for a while they were doing a double Filet-O-Fish. And I took about three or four photos of it. And I go back and have a look at those for a bit.
And do they call it, I know we're getting into sort of the opening scene of Pulp Fiction territory, but do they call it Le Filet-O-Fish? Is there
Filet is a French word, I'm sure, John. You're here to, as our French correspondent.
As a Frenchman, you know.
Yes.
Filet-O-Pesque.
Correct. Poisson.
Filet-O-Pesque. Poisson. Yes, poisson. Filet-O-Poisson. It was a double poisson. So deux poisson, and double cheese as well. So deux fromage. That's, and, you know, I can speak the language fluently. So yes, I basically what I'm trying to say is spread the word about the Filet-O-Fish as far and wide as possible.
So when you go to an area that's often regarded as one of the greatest sort of culinary locations, destinations, what was it that drew you to going to McDonald's that you could go to it? Was it to see if there was any difference in the tanginess, the tartar sauce?
I had to update my blog, but I think to be honest, I think it was an airport situation. You know, you're looking for familiarity in an airport. And I was blindsided by the fact that there were two fillets in a bun. Just phenomenal. The French, they really are pushing boundaries of their cuisine.
I didn't see this myself. Did you see the Ray Kroc biopic that Michael Keaton made recently? Because he's the sort of, he's the guy, he wasn't the creator of McDonald's, but he was the pioneer, the man who sort of popularized it. Is that the sort of thing you're going
for? That's actually the pun that Joel was making.
That was the pun on the title. So
the flounder as opposed to the founder.
Sorry. So the founder is the...
I didn't know that was what it was called. I should know there was a biopic about Ray Kroc. Okay.
But that would have been a really weird coincidence if I said to you then, no, I've never heard of that. It sounds brilliant.
I didn't know. Because when I heard the flounder, initially what I thought was it was going to be where you make flounder the main character of The Little Mermaid. But I didn't realise that's what the film was.
No, I'm very much putting flounder between two pieces of bread.
Would you like one from me?
I would.
This one is from me. Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Cerveza. Has anyone been on the internet in the last couple of days?
Oh, yeah, that's good stuff.
No, I don't know. I don't know what this
Matthew,
is.
Matthew, are you aware?
No, I'm aware. Excellent. I'm going to say straight away now, I know that is one of the Indiana Jones movies. just in case.
Have you guys seen this thing Harrison Ford's done?
Is that what you're trying to go for?
So, over the last couple of days on sort of, I would say, film Twitter, people have been going nuts for, in 2003, a Chilean TV channel decided in a sort of genius marketing move, like a media first, is that they were going to show the Star Wars movies, but instead of cutting to ads, they would put ads inside of the movie. So Star Wars A New Hope, include all for this one brand, Cerveza Crystal. And one of the highlights includes the moment where Obi-Wan initially gives him Luke his father's lightsaber. It cuts, so instead of opening a case with the lightsaber, there's an ice cold bucket of Crystal Cerveza, and he hands that over to Luke instead. And later in the film, you see a moment where Emperor Palpatine pulls out his hand as to go to grab a lightsaber, but again, no lightsaber, just a lovely, cool bottle of Crystal Cerveza.
So what happens in the fight scenes? They're not whacking each other over the head with bottles, are they? Not like
they're just having a drink and having a good time.
It's not like a bar brawl in Leeds on a Saturday night where they're just sort of bottling each other. This is blowing my mind. I hadn't heard about this. Was this? Did Lucas give a thumbs up to this?
Oh, almost certainly not.
So what? How is that possible? You can't. Is that a thing you can just do? Just take, you know, one of the biggest franchises of all time and stick whatever you like in it.
Yeah.
The thing, Lucas is big into sort of re-editing his film, so he should have actually appreciated it in some ways.
Yeah, he loves taking quite good stuff and absolutely ruining it with computers.
And the problem with sci-fi is that you are limited with your product placement. So this is a neat way.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's the Cantina Bar, isn't there? You know, they could have been serving the drinks there. There's no need for it to be replace the lightsabers. But no, that's wild.
Lucas was okay with everything, but he did insist that in the cantina scene, all of the blue milk remained.
Sure.
He's very precious about that.
So what you're imagining is that, like, Harrison Ford hops into a fridge to avoid a nuclear bomb, and as the fridge opens, all of these bottles of Crystal Cerveza fall out. Is that the idea?
Yeah.
Well, I was more imagining it's the crystal skull. So isn't there literally Dan Aykroyd? Doesn't Dan Aykroyd have vodka that's in it?
Yeah, he does. He does skull. Have that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there
yeah.
you go.
So, yeah.
Also, the iconic sequence where he's weighing up the bag of sand so that he can, you know, take the ancient things
the
and
amulets,
the boulder
yeah.
doesn't come rolling down. Mm-hmm. Guess what's exactly the same weight as the amulets? A lovely bottle of Crystal Cerveza. You know.
I guess this probably has worked really well because I'd never heard of the product before. What is it? Like, it's a beer, right? It's like
it's
a
beer.
It's just a beer.
It's just a.
I'm worried that it's been discontinued, and this was going to be its big moment to shine.
No,
I reckon this will bring it back. This will definitely bring it back.
Yeah, I'd love that.
I mean, because we have product placement films. It's just normally done during the filming process, and I always think of in one of the Bond films where he's at his lowest ebb and he's sort of living on that wonderful island, yeah. and you know, sort of being incredibly depressed. He like orders a bottle of Heineken and. And I think, I'm not sure the Heineken guys would have been over the moon with that placement, but here we are.
You say it was done in production. I was listening to the Rest Is Entertainment podcast, and they were saying now that fridges, like wine and beer fridges and stuff, will be shot as empty, and then they'll put the products in post when they've to the highest bidder. So there'll be like a
Amazing.
You know, mini fridge in shot exclusively for the purpose of them selling that placement further down the line, and then they'll CG in a Heineken.
And presumably, you know, depending on which territory it's being shown, you know, in the
just
way
swap it out
exactly
yeah.
in the way that like often cartoons will have like you know a famous person from the UK will do one of the voices so they can do a little piece on their TV show. Like this hasn't held up too well, but it's the Jonathan Ross does the voice in Shrek of the bartender who's like you know a man wearing a ball gown. I think is the you know, but it's Larry King when it was a. It was Larry King when it was out in the States because they and presumably you know whoever did it in Brazil or wherever else that's what it would be but that's what you could do
and, always... and at this point Steamboat Willie has pissed himself in 200 languages
so it's you know the cameos have to happen
yeah
it's an international brand.
Oh, good stuff. We didn't get through that many ideas, Matthew, which I think is a testament to your ability to join us on tangents, but if you had to pick a winner from today's selection, which one would you choose?
You know what? We didn't drill down into it very much, but as a fan of the Disney franchise, I'm going to go for the first one, the Black Hook Down. I think.
Yep.
I think it was. You know what? For some people, that movie is far too depressing, and a little bit of light relief, a little bit of goof is all you need. So I'm gonna
That's
go for
the tagline.
A little bit of goof is all you need. Thank you so much, Matthew. Thank you so much, John. Thanks, Matthew. That was so much fun.
I enjoyed it. That was really, really great fun.
Thank you so much for joining us. I think I heard you on something say recently that you quite often do these podcasts and they go on for hours and hours and hours, but we're pretty diligent here with our timekeeping.
You know what? I was with Ed Gamble, who I do the radio show with on a Sunday morning, and I said, oh, I'm off to do a podcast now, and he said, oh, well, that's going to be be 3 hours of someone's life they don't realize they're losing. But no, you know what, you sent me the invite, and it said 2 p.m. to 2:45 p.m. It is now 2:43 p.m. and the end is
what,
very
what,
much
what are you gonna do with that? What are you gonna do with those 2 minutes you fought back in your day?
I mean, I've got so many projects I need to get working on. Firstly, I've got to contact Cameo. That's number one. Secondly, I've got to see my kids. They get a minute each.
So this is the bit where we do a couple of recommendations, things that we've watched and enjoyed. John, is there anything you've been watching, listening to, etc.?
So we had Empire's James Dyer on a couple of weeks ago. So obviously he is lucky enough to get stuff in advance. And he recommended at the time Shogun, which is the big FX show that's on Disney, which is sort of being described as Game of Thrones but in feudal Japan. So I watched the first episode of that and can confirm it was very good.
Nice. Yeah, I'm interested in a bit of Shogun. I think I'm going to give that a go. I am I'm enjoying the new Everything album.
Oh,
that's
yes.
Excellent. And I watched a documentary on Saturday on YouTube about the Barclay Marathons. I don't know if anyone's aware of the Barclay Marathons. There's a really brilliant documentary from about 10 years ago about them, but it's a race in America run by this incredibly eccentric dude, and it's essentially like a trail run that's the most brutal run you could possibly imagine, and the entry requirements are really odd. Like, there was one year where only 40 people get in, and it takes place over 6 days, and you run about a marathon a day across the most sort of ridiculous terrain, and you have to a part of the run is you have to rip out a page of a book that you find that corresponds to your number, and that changes each day. But it's really brutal, but it's also held in quite high regard. So it's sort of elite athletes in that sport that go and do it. Anyway, I watched a documentary on the last year's, which I think was just called 2023 Barclay Marathons, which I would really recommend if you want to see people putting themselves through hell for no other reason than they can. But yeah, all good. How about you, Matthew? Have you got anything that you've enjoyed recently?
Yeah, I watched an old documentary as well about Saturday Night Live, the James Franco documentary, which is on YouTube. And I can't stop thinking about it. It's really, so I think it's the era of Saturday Night Live, it's about 2008, I think he started filming it. It's an episode where John Malkovich hosts, but the cast are, Kristen Wiig is, I think, has just started. She's not like one of the main players, but it's like Seth Meyers is there and John Mulaney's writing on it and Bill Hader. And yeah, it's just, I just find all of that, like, even though it's a job I sort of effectively have, which is sort of TV writer, the way they do it is so mad. It's a system that kind of got put in place in the 70s when everybody was on cocaine. So they were like, oh, we'll have a meeting on Tuesday and then another meeting on Wednesday afternoon. And between the meeting on Tuesday and Wednesday, no one will sleep. We'll stay up all night and we'll write sketches. And you're like, oh, if you went home and went to bed for, say, even 6 hours, you could still wake up and probably write slightly better sketches than if you spent all night desperately trying to write sketches. But it's brilliant. I found it really, really interesting. There's also a great scene where it's the punch-up table, which is punch-up is what you do to a script when you're trying to sort of get as many, you know, wring as many laughs out of it, put as many gags in as possible. And it's all these amazing, brilliant people, you know, Paul Appel and, like I say, John Mulaney, and Seth Meyers is running it because he's the head writer. And they're all sitting around a table pitching jokes and no one is laughing. But not, you know, it's not a mean thing. They're not like going, no, that's rubbish. They're just literally going, yeah, it could be that. Okay, what about this? Yeah, it could be that. And it's just, I know that world so well. Of just kind of, you know, it becomes like a maths problem to solve rather than like, hey, we're all having fun and just rolling around laughing. It's great. It's really, really interesting.
Well, thanks again, Matthew. That was a joy. A pleasure having you.
Yeah, it was a total joy. 47, you've got 2 extra minutes.
Sorry, Matthew.
So,
are you going to bill us for those or how does that work? All right, we better end. John, thank you so much, John. We'll be here same time next week.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.